If you have your Bibles, I'll ask you to turn over with me to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you would help us as we enter into this time of preaching the word, that you would speak to our hearts and help us to receive help, understanding, and enlightenment. Help us, Father, to make application and to be obedient. For this we ask in Jesus' worthy name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. In this text, there are three figures of speech that explain to us what it is like or what it should mean to us to be a Christian. The first one is found in verse 15, where he's speaking and says that God's people are said to be the sons of God. So when we get saved and he forgives us of our sin, we became a child of God. In other words, it's like being a son in a family. There's no greater position than to be a child of God. And then he mentions in verse 15 that we are to shine as lights in the world. In other words, we're supposed to be like stars in the firmament. And in verse 17, he compares the Christian life to being a sacrifice of faith. Now, when I look at verse 15, I want to lift out just one of those three things that he compares, and that is to be like stars in the firmament or lights that are in the world that we're supposed to shine. Now, this word lights here is a word that simply means it's like luminaries. You know what God did? God created the heavens, and he put in the heavens the sunshine and the moon and the stars. Amen? And what is their job? Their job is to shine. They're intended to produce or to give light to this old dark world. You see what a picture this is? A star giving light in darkness. That's what you and I are supposed to be. Now listen to what Jesus said, and we'll preach. In John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus said this, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, he said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your job as a Christian, my job as a Christian, is to shine like a light, like a luminary, like the sunshine, like the moon, like a star in the middle of this old dark world in which we live. Now you and I, when we were sinners, we used to be darkness. We lived in darkness. Amen. Listen, in Ephesians chapter 5, he said, for you were sometimes darkness. What about that? But now are you the light in the world. Therefore walk as children of the light. Certainly a miracle took place because those of us that made Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, he has caused us to be a light in the Lord. Three things this morning I'll be done. First of all, I want you to know the power of the light to shine. You know, what is the light supposed to do? A light's job is simply to shine. Now, he said in Matthew 5:16 to let your light shine before men. He said in Philippians 2:15 that ye are supposed to shine as lights in the world. So we're going to light this candle this morning, and it represents you and I shining as light. If all the lights were out this morning, it was total darkness, this light would be very noticeable. you would see it very quickly. And the power of that light is to shine. Now, he said that we were not supposed to put our light under a bushel. You know, there are some bushels that will cause your light to be hindered. It will hinder your light from shining. Preacher Darren, what are some of those bushels? You know what a bushel is? It's just a big tub. And if I put this over the top of this and hide it, you can't see the light. It goes right back out in darkness. Now you get rid of the bushel, amen, and the light's still shining. How beautiful. Sir, there are some bushels that will hinder your light from shining. Preacher Darren, I'd like to know what they are. Well, he's already told us one of them in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Look with me. What did he say that would hinder our light from shining? Murmuring and disputing. What is murmuring? It is complaining. It is muttering under your breath, having secret meetings to fuss. Let me explain it like this. I got saved at the ripe young age of 12. And my mama one time said to me after I got saved, "Son, your room is a pigsty. You need to clean it up." Now, rather than make an open argument about this, I turned around and said, "Well, I can't believe she'd fuss at me like I just muttered under my breath." Can I get a witness? I was whining and murmuring and complaining. "I can't believe what they've done it like. I don't like it. I'm mad. I'm upset." And let me tell you something. My mother said, "What did you say?" "Nothing, Mom. I didn't say anything." You see, murmuring will cause you and your light to be hidden. When people are looking to you as a Christian, that you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have a testimony, "Oh, God has saved me, he's been so good," but all you do is murmur and complain, fuss and gripe all the time, you're losing your witness. It is a bushel that is hindering your light this morning. Amen. You cannot be the light that Jesus wants you to be. And nobody wants to see your bushel. Everybody wants to see your light. There was a young lady who married this young fellow, and after a few months, she said back to him, she said, "You know, you told me that if I would marry you, that you would be humbly grateful." "Yes, I did." "Well, now you've become grumpy and hateful." "What happened to humble and grateful?" "Huh? Let me tell you something. Grumpy and hateful is going on in our homes. Grumpy and hateful is going on in our churches, and it ought not to be." It's like a fellow that was fishing. He looked down the stream and he saw this other guy on the bank, and man, he was just catching them. He was throwing the hook in and jerking out fish like crazy. And so he said, "I'm going to go down there because that must be a good fishing hole, and I'm going to get close to that guy." Well, you know that goes on. He moved on down a little closer to this guy, and he said, "What are you catching him with?" Well, that guy got mad that fella came down there and intruded on his fishing hole, and he jumped up and he stomped his feet and he trailed off, murmuring and complaining every step of the way. And there was a lady real close to him, and she said, "I'm glad that old grouch is gone. I don't like to fish with anybody as crabby as he is." And that new guy said, "Really? Do you know him?" "Oh, I guess so. I've been married to him 35 years. When you murmur and grumble, it is really a sign of your rebellion to God. What you're saying is, "I don't like what's happening in my life, And God's in control." And you said God's in control. If I said, "Is God in control?" you'd say, "Amen." "Amen." But you'd say, "Murmuring and complaining, I don't like what's happening to me right now." And therefore you get in trouble. And it causes your light to be hindered. And now you put a bushel on top of your life. Listen, there's another one. What else was it? Disputing. You know what murmuring turns into? If you do it long enough and get away with it long enough, now dispute is open. All of a sudden, it'll start popping out what you've been saying in private. And you get bolder with it. "Well, I just don't care. I'm telling you what, I'm 72 years old. I'll do what I want to now. I'm not 18 anymore. I'm not 19 anymore, bless God. I'm 70 years old, I'm 65 years old, and I can say what I want to, and the world is just going to have to deal with it. That is hindering your light from shining. Let me tell you what, you have returned to your old life. God told me, you go tell them, you've returned to your old ways, your old drinking ways, and you said you're a Christian, and you let your light shine before your children. Look at Daddy's witness. Yeah, Lord God, look at Daddy's witness. You took an old brewery bin, and you've covered up your light from your children, and you're doing the wrong thing. Return to your drinking, and some of you return to your pot-smoking ways. You're back to drugging and doing things that you ought not to do. You've gone back to the world, and God said it's hindered your light from shining. It is a bushel that is hiding your light from the rest of the world from seeing it. Then Paul, I could go on and on. I could preach on bushels. I could preach a whole message on bushels that'll hinder your light from shining. But I want us to see three things then that Paul gives us in Philippians that are boosters that will help your light to shine. First of all, he said, verse 15, that you may be blameless. You know what it means to be blameless? Blameless is what you're supposed to be in the sight of others. It's how others see you. Let there be nothing in your behavior that would cause anyone to point blame in your life. Let there be nothing in your behavior that would do anything to take away from the light which is supposed to shine. How do others see you? Then he goes on and says that you may be harmless. What is harmless, Preacher Darren? Harmless is what you're supposed to be all the time. And it is how you see yourself. Do you see yourself as harmless? I hope you don't. I hope you're willing to see yourself. I, Preacher Darren, I don't know what I'm capable of doing. I don't know really what's in my heart. I mean, it's amazing. I know not to murmur. I know not to have open disputings. But you know what I do? The very things that I know not to do, that's the very things that I end up doing. And it's a crying shame. Then he goes on, he says, blameless and harmless. And then he says, the sons of God without rebuke. Rebuke, it means to tell a fault with the intention to correct. What does that mean, Preacher Darren? Rebuke is how God sees you. How's God see you today? Is there open rebuke in your life? Could he rebuke you for your sin? Let there be nothing in my life or in your life that would cause God to openly want to rebuke us. You see, the power of the light is to shine so bright. Okay? Number two, I want you to see the purpose of the light. What is the purpose of the light, Preacher Darren? These lights share. That's their purpose. Preacher Darren, I don't understand. They share. Look at Philippians 2:15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know what they're sharing? They are sharing, these candles are sharing their light with us. Number one, there's two reasons. Number one, to overcome darkness. If this was a total dark room, the light shares to overcome darkness. There can be no doubt we live in a crooked world. Crooked means not straight. The world is not straight. The world can't think straight. It doesn't act straight. And it sure doesn't go straight. Amen. The Christian is meant to be straight in a crooked world. Well, Preacher Darren, I can do it because everybody else is doing it. I mean, I'll just get with my friends and they're doing it and they're saved too. No! You be a light to them. You're supposed to be straight in the middle of a crooked world. And then he says, a perverse nation. Perverse means twisted or distorted. There's no doubt that our world is twisted. There's no doubt that our worlds of this morning have become distorted. Let me say this and see if I can get an amen. You're not going to change this world. In fact, it's not your job. You know what you're intended to do? You're intended to shine. Blameless. Harmless and without rebuke. One of the biggest faults of a man is he thinks he has to fix everything. A lot of times when I went to fix something, I made it worse than it was to start with. and I had parts left over. You and I can't fix anything. My job's not to fix anything. My job's to shine for the glory of God. You know where they put lighthouses? On the coast, in dark, dreary, dangerous places. And in the midst of the storm, when times are the darkest, there stands the lighthouse, bling, shining a beacon. That seagoing vessel where people are on board thinking they're going to drown, thinking they're not going to make it. But praise God when the light comes in the middle of the darkness. Hey, it gives us guidance. It helps us overcome darkness. Praise God for those that have been a lighthouse to us in the middle of our dark places. I never went to see one of them lighthouses and heard a lighthouse say, I really don't like where I am. I'd rather be in a better place. I don't like to be out in this craggy place. It's a bit risky here. The waves are always coming at me and the lightning strikes at me. You don't see lighthouses complaining. You don't see lighthouses disputing, why am I in North Carolina and the other lighthouses are down in Georgia? I don't like it. Any of y'all ever put a night light out for your child? Any of y'all put a night light out for yourself? Why do you put that night light out? Well, preacher, dear, I want the children to be over. I want it to overcome their fear. I want it to overcome the darkness so they have a little light, so they have a little bit of comfort. Why do you put a night light out? So I won't get up in the middle of the night and get killed and run over something. That's why I put a night light out. Hey, when was the last time you went to your night light and you cut it on and it said, nope, not going to shine today. I'm tired. It's dark. I'm scared. I'm not going to shine anymore. I want you to put me somewhere better. I want you to put me in a place where there's a bright light and cut it on, and I'll shine where there's already light. Night lights do not complain about the darkness around them. You know what you and I are supposed to do? We're supposed to shine in the middle of darkness. Yes, this is a dark world. Yes, it's a crooked and perverse nation in which we live. Yes, it's a bad place. So many times I talk to people and say, Preacher Darren, I just want you to know where I work. There's not one person saved. It beats all I ever seen. I'm going to have to quit my job. It seems like everybody's lost. It seems like it's a dark, dark place. Well, hello. That's why God puts you there. He puts you there to shine in the middle of darkness. Yeah, but I don't really like it. Yeah, lighthouses and nightlights don't complain. Your job is not to murmur and dispute back at God or with your neighbor. Your job is just to shine. And your job is to share in order to overcome darkness. What else does the light do? Well, it offers direction. We already mentioned about a lighthouse. Not only does it overcome darkness, but it offers direction. You know, your light offers direction to somebody in need. That's why we do what we do. That's why we have Sunday morning service, is to be a light in the middle of darkness to give some direction about what the Word of God says. It's why we have Sunday school classes. It's why we have an Awana program. Somebody get help me, amen. I'm preaching alone now, right now. That's why we have a Christian school, amen, to offer direction to young people. That is why we give out CDs and DVDs. It's why we're on the internet. It's why we preach on the radio. It's why we do what we do. We're trying to offer direction to a lost and dying world that's living in darkness. Amen. Your job's to be a light, but your problem is you can't get any joy about being a light because you're under a bushel. And the only time you want your light to shine is when you come to church. Let me tell you something about your light. Your light was never meant to cause you to be a celebrity. It's not a star in the terms of Hollywood. It is the being a light or a star in the terms of glorifying God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, amen. The light's job is to shine. The purpose of the light is to share. Thirdly, and I'm done. The Bible tells us that the passion of the light is to sacrifice. Now, these lights that I've already taken, maybe this candle and I lit it. And think about one of these wicks was very, very long. In fact, I even had to trim the wick because it was completely in a loop. And as I lit it last night trying out the sermon, it began to melt the candle about halfway down. The wick was too long. And that's when God spoke to me and said, you look at what that wick's doing, son. I said, Lord, what is that wick doing? He said, in the tabernacle. in the tabernacle, there's that lampstand. And that golden lampstand has got seven candles on it, and it's to be lit all the time. It's fed by olive oil that comes into it, which represents the Spirit of God, amen, which comes into and causes the light to burn, and it's never to go out. And there are wicks inside that absorb that oil, and the wick is constantly burning, amen, burning that oil, causing that lampstand to shine. But you know what that wick is doing in essence? It's sacrificing. The wick is going to burn. It's sacrificing itself. This morning, as I first lit these candles, some of them gave a black, smoky appearance because it was the wick being lit. But as it got down to the wax of the candle, some of that smoke began to go away. Understand it about sacrifice. You will not shine for Jesus unless it costs you something. Preacher, you was doing real good right there. There's a price to pay. Romans 12:1 says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When John the Baptist was born, he was born in one of the darkest hours in human history. And the scripture says that John the Baptist was a burning and shining light. And he was willing to give his life to glorify Jesus Christ. If you're willing to lose yourself, then you can be useful to Jesus. Are you willing to spend your life glorifying Jesus? Are you willing to spend your light burning out for the glory of God? Sunday school teachers, can I get a witness? If you want your class to grow or sacrifice, you have to study. You have to prepare. You have to pray before you're going to get in there and serve. You're going to have sacrifice. Singers, Brother David, Brother Donnie, before our singers can sing, there's a time of practice. There's a time of rehearsal. There's a time of commitment. You see, the problem in the day and age which we live, nobody wants to commit. My time is my time, and I'm not going to do anything to glorify Jesus with it. I'm going to watch television. I'm going to have recreation. I'm going to have a good time for me because after all, I'm not here long. That's exactly right. You're not here long, so you better spend your time being a light in the middle of this dark world for Jesus Christ. Oh, I've never regretted a moment that I sacrificed any time for Jesus. These singers, my wife, before she sang this morning, she had to practice that song. She had to dedicate herself to try to memorize the music, memorize the words. Let me tell you what, choir, if you want to be effective, if you really want the power of God, you're going to have to pray and you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to say, Lord, I'm going to commit my way to you to practice and memorize and work, and I just want to get up there and be a light for Jesus, to offer direction to somebody that might be in darkness. Henry Martin was one of the greatest pioneer missionaries in India. When he got there, one of his memoirs says this, now let me burn out for God. You know, I live in a day where preachers are just dropping out. I talk to them, they say, Preacher Darren, don't you get too busy. Because when you get too busy, you're probably just going to burn out. Hallelujah. I hope I do burn out for Jesus. Oh, ain't nobody ever went down burning out for Jesus. Their problem is they're burning out for self. It's their ministry. Hey, but if it's about Jesus, you'll not burn out, amen. He'll give you all that you need. He'll bless you. I want to close with this thought. I think about a great missionary, and we study missionaries at school a lot. And I study one about by the name of Adoniram Judson. He went to Burma in the 1800s, and he was there to plant the gospel of Jesus Christ. He preached 6 years, and he never had one convert. Nobody ever told him that sure was a good message. He endured ill health, loneliness, the death of his baby son. They put him in prison for 2 years. Think about that. When he got out of prison, his wife Anne and his daughter Maria died. But he would not leave Burma and go home. Adoniram Judson said, I will not leave Burma until the cross of Christ is firmly planted in Burma forever. 30 years after he died, this is what I found. 30 years after Adoniram Judson died, there were 63 churches and 7,000 members of those churches in Burma. You see, he understood the principle that you will never be a light in this old dark world until you're willing to lose yourself and sacrifice yourself for Jesus. You see, this light, it's never about itself. It always wants to shine, and it always wants to share, and it always wants to sacrifice that it might be a help to someone who's in darkness, to someone who has no direction. Preacher Darren, it's me this morning. I have no direction. Preacher Darren, it's me this morning. I've got so much darkness in my life right now. I just don't know which way to turn, Preacher Darren. I don't exactly know what to do. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Sister Janie, if you'd come. I wonder if there might be somebody here to say, Preacher Darren, I know Jesus saved me, and he called me to be a light. Yes, he did. But Preacher Darren, somehow, there's a big old bushel been put on top of my light. I don't have joy. I'm not the witness to my family that ought to be. And it's because I've got distracted on the wrong things rather than the right things. And I just want my light to shine. I want my life to count for Jesus Christ. Preacher Darren, I want to be blameless. I want to be harmless. I want to be without rebuke. If you'll come to Jesus, he said he'd forgive your sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amen. Take the bushel off and let your light shine again for the glory of God. Folks are still coming. Is anybody else? We're going to pray together. That's right. Keep minding God. Amen. Anybody else? Preacher Darren, I'm sure that I'm not the light I need to be. Keep coming. That's right. Come on. We're going to pray together because I'm going to get an altar with you because I want to be a brighter light for the glory of God than I am now. Hey, listen. Come on. Who come with me? Preacher Darren, I want more. I want to be a light for Jesus, a pure light. Would you come? Folks still moving. Folks still moving. Come on. There's room. There's room in the altar. There's room at the cross. Keep coming, church. That's right. Just keep coming. Keep coming. Who else? Preacher Darren, I just want to be the light that I was called to be.